Again this morning to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 16, what I consider to be an incredibly insightful passage that explains how to do church correctly. I only hope my voice keeps up so we can finish today. We'll see if this gets finished or not, or if my voice gives out. We'll go as far as we can. Start by reading the text for you. And if we get done here, we'll be going to Acts chapter 2 also to survey that passage. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "And he, Christ, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." This explains how Christ matures and grows his church, the universal church, and then the local church, which is a microcosm of the universal. This is how Jesus wants each local church designed. It's really just a bullseye verse to help us to know what are we doing in church and why are we doing it. It's crucial for elders and other church leaders to comprehend and follow this strategy. But we're preaching it to the whole congregation because it's important for all of us to embrace the pattern. We started this little mini-series last Lord's Day, and we're just trying to put the spotlight on ourselves as Hope Bible Church. It's a little bit of a different series in that I'm not going to spend as much time digging into the text as much as applying it to our situation and talking about us. So sometimes it'll just appear that we're just having an in-house talk here. But I think that's important. We need to make sure at this point where we're ready to make some big decisions as a church, and indeed already seem to be on the way to making one really big decision, that we're all on the same page as we move forward. I can confidently say from the New Testament that the local church is where God is working in this age. A lot of people want to know, what is God doing today and where is he working? And the answer is, he's working in the local church. There are many other helpful Christian organizations, and God uses them also in our day. They're called parachurch organizations, and they are just that. They are para. They're brought alongside the local church or the local churches to assist them. We thank God for their ministry. In fact, I was saved through the ministry of a parachurch organization, and so I'm very grateful for them. But Christ has decided in this dispensation to live inside and indwell inside his church. That's why he calls the church his what? His body. It is his own body where he lives and where he manifests himself to the world. How can the world know and perceive Christ? The answer, the local church. So we need to make sure we're doing local church correctly. Really, God wanted the local church to be a society within a society. We're surrounded by the American society, but they don't know how God wants them to live. So God sticks these little local churches all throughout America or Chile or other places and says, that's how I want you to be. That's how I want you to think. That's how I want you to live. A different society. We're not caught up in their economic priorities. We're not supposed to be caught up in their political agendas. We're not supposed to have their recreational priorities. We're supposed to have Christ's priorities and live the way he wants us to. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be very different. A smaller model of right belief and right relationships and right priorities amidst a larger one, which frankly, and I don't need to tell you this, has gone completely astray from what God wants. Our most educated people today, our erudite pundits, our esteemed college professors, are immersed in darkness themselves and they don't even know it. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. God speaks to us in his word, as Pastor Scott reminded us this morning. Philippians 2:15 gives a little bit of a purpose statement as to what the church is really supposed to be. It says in Philippians 2:15, to prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We shine brightly because they are so much in darkness. And so the mission that the Lord gave to his church is to shine. It's to shine as lights in a dark world. And also to bring in the words of Titus 2 and verse 12, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what God is doing in this dispensation. That is what we want to be at Hope Bible Church as well. That's our target. That's our aim. That's what we're trying to do week in and week out. We're never going to be even close to perfect, but we're always going to keep laboring and striving. Why do we do what we do? There is the answer. Now, to do that, we learned last time from Ephesians 4 that we need to follow this word-driven dynamic body model that is explained in verses 11 through 16. We went over a large part of it last time, just very brief review. From verse 11 and then a little bit into verse 12, we have to have the right preachers and the teachers that are leading the church. These are men that Christ gifted and Christ gave to the church and Christ called them and Christ trained them, and now they serve in the local body, but their primary role is to preach and teach and counsel and train and take the word of God and make sure it's applied to your hearts so you then know what to do. And then from that teaching comes the right pattern for the church to grow to maturity, and that's seen in verses 12 and 13 and kind of moving into verse 14 and even into verse 15. The right pattern is that pastors must resist doing all of the ministry themselves. Rather, they have to expend effort to equip all the saints. You heard our missionary talking about the equipping that he's doing in Chile, trying to teach people counseling and get them ready for the ministry and teach in a local church as well. It's the same thing going on no matter where it is in the world. It's the same philosophy. Pastors and teachers and evangelists equip the saints. Who are the saints? You are the saints. Everyone in church that believes in Christ is set apart for God. You're now a holy one, you're a saint, and you're to do service. Pastors must invest in the lives of the whole congregation, and the congregation must have a willingness to be equipped, to be pushed beyond what they maybe are comfortable doing, to be challenged and called to do more for the Lord so they can serve the body in a greater way. We also need to have not only the right preachers and the right pattern, this is still review, we need to have the right purpose. What are we trying to do here? And the answer is maturity. We're trying to build up the body of Christ. And we see that throughout the whole passage. We keep teaching and preaching, and then the servants, the saints, keep serving, and it builds up the whole body, and it grows. It grows in maturity, and it usually grows in size. We are not to be, as it says in verse 14, like spiritual children, easily deceived, or waves tossed in the ocean, blown in every different way by every religious fad or teaching that comes along. We're to be anchors. We're to know what's true. We're to let nothing move us in a sense. We're to speak the truth. We're to speak it in love. And then we're to grow up into what standard? Into the very character of Jesus Christ. We're to keep maturing till the body of Christ on earth lives and acts like the body of Christ that used to walk on earth, the Lord Jesus, and is now in heaven. Maturity and growth and building up and even the growing in the size of the church as well. Today we pick up right there with the fourth essential to all of this model and to maturing Christ Church and what we're doing as a local church. And that is we have to rely on the right power for the dynamic body. Focus on verse 16 now, if you would. Verse 16. It's really an involved verse. It has a number of clauses that relate to one another, and I'm just going to give you a survey of it here. It says, from whom, the whom is Christ, the whole body, that's the church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, and here it is, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Where does the power come from? For us to be able to say as a church, mission accomplished, we are doing what we want to do, we've fulfilled what Christ has told us to do. In order to say that, we have to rely on something. Not human innovation. So many churches are turning to the side to try to find some neat new idea for the church. No. Not positive motivational talks. Goodness, the world is full of that, and it gets people charged up, and they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. Not psychological little adjustments to our problems. That's not it. Not emotional hype. Rather, we're to rely on divine power. Divine power. How do you get divine power? Well, we read Acts 2. You already know the church has been invested with divine power, the Holy Spirit. But the right power for the dynamic body comes first and foremost from the head of the body. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Verse 15 states that. It's not the Pope, right? It's not the Pope that's the head of the church. It's not the magisterium that's the head of the church. The head of the local church is not the senior pastor. It's not the board of elders. The head of the church is Christ alone. As our head, he is more than just our authority who tells us what to do. He is the source of the dynamic body's energy. You know, the role of the head in anatomy, at least when it's working properly, is to provide all the instructions for the body, but also the life-giving impulses to travel through the body to reach each part of it and tell the body, here is what you're supposed to do and here's the energy for it. The body responds to these impulses and these instructions with obedience and with activity. The connection is clear. A body without a head is, well, it's headless. It's without direction. It has no life-giving power pumping down into it. Christ's headship was a theme taken up earlier in Paul's epistle here in chapter 1 of Ephesians in verses 22 and 23. You could turn back there if you want to look at that. He says, he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave Christ as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here it points out that God gave Jesus as a head over all things to the church. Do you understand that? That means that Christ is a gift to the church. He's the head of the church, given to the church as a head. Why? To have the energy and the power to fulfill its mission. It is our tremendous privilege to be connected to a head who is not in Washington or in the Vatican. We are connected to a head above all other heads, way, way up in the heavens. The church is mystically connected to the heavens through the headship of Christ, who is now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is our head. We are connected to him. And furthermore, in verse 23 of chapter 1, it shows that intimate connection that we have with Christ. It says Christ fills us with what? It fills us with himself. Why? To complete us and to empower us. And then we, very interestingly, we fill up him. What does that mean? We manifest him into the world so that he is perceived and seen through his body on earth. We complement him the way the body does the head. The body is doing what the head wants to do, so it also is with Christ and with the church on earth. Christ actually lives in the world today through his body. And he is the gift given to the church to empower the body. Divine power is at work right here in this congregation. In every single congregation where the gospel is preached and believed, in every single true local church, regardless where it is, divine power is at work. And it is incumbent upon all of us not to look at our problems, not to look at our obstacles saying, well, what are our resources to overcome it? That's not good enough, is it? That's not big enough. God is greater. We have to muster our faith. We have to stir one another on to acts of faith and understand divine power is at work in the local congregation. In a doxology to end the first half of the book in chapter 3, verse 20, Paul wrote, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." And then he goes on to bless God's name. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we even ask for or could think about asking for. That's God's power. And it says specifically in chapter 3, verse 20, that power is at work in us. Listen, I don't feel too strong today. And there are many other days I don't feel like I have so much energy. You might be that way right now. You might feel, what can I do? I don't really feel that I can really accomplish all that much. Well, then you're in good company because that's how the rest of us feel, right? But God is here. God is working. God wants to take you with all of your weaknesses, with all the things that you haven't yet experienced or understand or learned. He wants to grip you. He wants to use you. He's gifted you for this, and he wants to use you to build up the body. Now, there's a really exciting thing here, and that is that not only is Christ the source of power for the body, but if you turn back to chapter 4 and look at verse 16 again, you'll notice it's not just the head that is energizing the body. Look at verse 16. What do you see there? You see that every member, every church member, every believer in the church has a part in availing himself of that power. Do you see that? You also are part of the energy of the body. Remember, we talked about the dynamic body. It's not static. It's not one person doing one thing. It's everyone being energized and working together, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit and the head. And from that comes an energy and a building up and a dynamic that helps everyone else to grow as well. It's really fascinating, this process that he has. It's really amazing. The whole dynamic is working. Notice the body itself causes the building up. The body itself causes the maturity. The body itself causes the growth. The power source is the head, true enough, but the growth involves each part then getting busy and doing what it's supposed to do. Working with divine love. Each individual part, empowered by Christ, energizes the body. That also happens with the human body right now. It's not just your head that's working, right? Your head is telling things in your body what to do. And then there's cells in the body that are working. It's causing the growth and the building up of the body. That's happening in you. So it is also with Christ. The body is neatly and compactly fitted together, it says in verse 16. It hangs on every single joint. Everyone has a spot and a place. Every member performs its loving duty. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the great passage on the body of Christ as well. Verse 14, it says, the body is not one member, but many. Why is the body many members? Why? Why did he put so many different members in the body? The answer is because everyone has a different function to do, right? And you have to do your function, otherwise your function doesn't get done. Every part is needed as part of that dynamic. Listen, the maturity and the growth of Hope Bible Church depends on you. It depends on your commitment. It depends on your faithful, ongoing, loving service to the people that are right here in this room right now. It depends on that. The Holy Spirit produces works of love among the body. And through those works of love, whatever they may be, whether they're words of encouragement or acts of service or mercy or helping with administration or teaching or counseling, every single one of that helps the whole body grow stronger and grow larger. Notice it says the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The growth, that's actually a present middle verb there. And Dr. MacArthur notes that that means the body produces its own growth through resident dynamics. Isn't that interesting and powerful? That your work also is part of the energy and the power that makes this local church work. That's God's design. I know we may be dismayed at times of the grandness of our task here in Maryland. This is a tough part of the country. It's expensive to live here. There's not a lot of encouragement for Bible-believing Christians in this area. We're opposed by Satan. We have to deal with unbelievers around us. Trying to get out that teaching here, trying to get it to other people in the midst of so much falsehood, where Christians are not even treated all that well, that's hard. But by Christ activating his power in the body, driven by the word of God, we can fulfill God's purpose for Hope Bible Church. And I hope you believe that. For this is Christ's model. This is Christ's strategy for the church today. Any church, anywhere. There is no other plan. It's been the same plan for 2,000 years of church history on every continent where the gospel has gone. There is no other biblical philosophy of ministry. This is it. The more a church gets in line with this pattern and this power and this design here, the more it pleases its head and the more the head can use it effectively to minister to the world around it. That is the tried and the true model that I was taught and shown at the Master's Seminary and at Grace Community Church when I was there many years ago. We stated last time, a truly biblical church must start and be driven first by the pulpit. That is why a man has to be gifted and has to be called by God even to fill the church's pulpit. It's a calling from God one must be constrained really to do, because it's the Holy Spirit that wants to speak through that expositor to the congregation. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has a classic book, Preaching and Preachers, that we were to read back when we were in seminary, and I'm rereading it right now. He has a quote in there that says this: "The preacher must have a sense of constraint. It means you have the sense that you can do nothing else. The only man who's called to preach is the man who cannot do anything else, in the sense that he is not satisfied with anything else." And he goes on to quote Spurgeon, who said basically the same thing. Many of you should be praying for God to raise up men who are constrained by a desire to preach from the pulpit. It's a great calling. Maybe some of your sons would be called by God to this. It's something we should be praying for. Some of you are examining your own heart. Should I be called to preach full time? Well, that's one of the indications that that is a constraint the Holy Spirit places upon you, and you can do nothing else. And trust me, I know, because I tried to get out of it. Additionally, each man on the elder board must meet biblical character qualities and teaching skill, and have a heart and a passion for building up and teaching and equipping the entire congregation. Only this way, from the pulpit and the full doctrinal teaching of the entire elder board, can that apostolic doctrine we're reading about here in the New Testament be the force that drives forward the church. We are a word-driven church, but it takes this right exposition and teaching. This is why we want you to be dedicated first and foremost to coming on Sunday morning and coming to the worship service. Why? To hear God speak to you as you worship His holy name. But also to deepen yourself beyond the Sunday worship service. Take advantage of your communities. Take advantage of the classes and courses and training opportunities that are there. It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. This is why we do intensive leadership training. Some people come here, they want to be leaders, but they don't want training. You have to get training to be a leader. You submit yourself to that. You do that, God will use you. You humble yourself, and God will take you and mold you. This is also why we need full-time staff pastors at Hope Bible Church to devote themselves to this same thing, the same kind of training and equipping full-time. Without them, our ministry here, or the ministry of any local church, will only go so far. Sometimes people ask, how many staff pastors should we have? Well, the Bible doesn't say. Studies on this issue vary somewhat, but they consistently recommend somewhere between one full-time pastor for every 75 people in the church, up to one full-time pastor for every 150 people. That's the range. Well, we're at 425, roughly, and we've been over 150 for 12 years with one staff pastor. That is a huge burden, not only on me, but it places an incredible burden on the other very hardworking elders and deacons and women leaders we have here, not to mention our administrative staff. We have one very tired and overworked senior pastor, and he is right here. We desperately need more staff. As we lay before you the giving needs of the church and the upcoming Pledge Sunday, which Dr. Plumley mentioned in the Hope Book that it would be on April the 2nd, our Pledge Sunday, as all of that is laid before you, beloved, and as you contemplate your stewardship responsibilities for the church, would you please weigh that one very heavily? And as you contemplate your giving of time and the energy that it takes to serve Christ and the effort of the ministry that is needed here at Hope Bible Church, would you please remember that nothing goes forward without sacrifice? You can never fit effective ministry into something that is convenient for your schedule. You just cannot do that. You cannot tell Christ and His work that it gets second place and expect Him to work mightily through you. You just cannot do that. You cannot say, I'll fit it nicely into my schedule, I have a nice little ministry that I've been doing for the last 3 years or 5 years, and expect Christ to use you mightily. You have to put yourself on the altar, and you have to sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice time with your family. You have to do that, or God won't use you. It has frequently been observed that the millennial generation is too self-absorbed. Self-absorbed in their electronics, self-absorbed in their social media, that they don't take seriously enough the commitments that earlier generations of Christians in America did to support their churches well. I don't know if that's true here because I don't know what anybody gives. But I do know this, that too many church members, not just millennials, expect church to run and go forward and wish that this ministry was here or that ministry was there without their putting in hard work and their volunteering time. Now, how do you think all of these ministries get done? I don't have any pixie dust. We need both the equipping pastors and the volunteers that they can train, and a growing elder board. When people ask, what is Hope Bible Church's 5-year plan? I always love that question, or 10-year plan, or vision for the future. I say, I don't know. I always answer it pretty much the same way. We're going to grow the church. We're going to grow the church to maturity through this process here. And then we're going to see what Christ and the Holy Spirit does with that. We want to spread the teaching broadly around here. I'm sick and tired of all the false teaching in this area. I'm sick and tired of all the things that you hear out there that are just wrong and it's all false. And here we have the truth and we could spread it more, but we need people that are willing to work, that believe enough in it. That's what we want to do. We desire to position ourselves to serve other Gamma churches better, to serve our missionaries better and more missionaries, to help our Hope Bible Church's ministries better and our people better, to counsel them better, to disciple them better. This requires you to get equipped. It requires you to take your walk with Christ more seriously. Then God will grow the size of the church and bring more spiritual giftedness to match the vision that He gave me at the beginning of the church. We only accomplish the goals through Christ's work in you. Beloved, there is no other plan. That's it. And God has been using this plan. Look around you. What do you see? I said this was a spotlight on us. This was a time to have an in-house talk. Think about this. What do you see? A very, very needy area of the country. Tons of false teaching everywhere. Worldly churches in every town. And then here we are. We have a light. We have doctrine. We have something we can give and share. And we started very small. There were just 5 families, then 6, then 7. That was all that started this church. And it began to grow. It didn't grow fast. It grew slowly, but it grew. And it grew and it grew. And then we started another church, and that was Christ's timing, and He did it. And now there's another church in Baltimore because of that, because people gave themselves to the Lord. And it feeds the people that are there. And our church also now is being used to feed and encourage other Gamma churches and pastors. Every single week I'm on the phone with another pastor that's calling and asking for help or encouragement or prayer. We have been given a wide open door for all kinds of ministry. We mention radio because radio is so broad and it's broadcast. But there's more we can do in local evangelism. We haven't even broken the surface of this yet. Maybe most important of all, what we can do to impact foreign missions more greatly, it just boggles the mind what we could do. All of this is laid in our laps. It's ready to go, but it needs your determination. It needs you to not make the same tired excuses, but to step up, volunteer. Do you know that when you volunteer and when you get tired and you sacrifice, do you know that you will have more joy in your life than you have ever had before? Do you know that? Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. Yes, I'm tired. Right now I'm sick. Maybe my face doesn't look all that joyful. But there is nothing that gives me more joy than serving Christ. Today we have 5 churches in our region which have their senior pastor on the board of directors of Grace Advance Mid-Atlantic. Years ago, that was just a dream. We have another dozen churches that are involved in Gamma and that help out with a number of things. We have a larger number of churches that have shown some interest in it, and you can tell there's need with them. Today we have 4 missionaries. Once we had 0, then we had 1, now we have 4. and what God can do with that more. I'm just so excited about our missions committee. I'm so excited to see people volunteer and come to that missions committee. I hope you don't drop out. I hope you stick with it, because there's more that we can do. We can have short-term missions trips that fire us up and hopefully help the missionaries as well. There's so much that can be done. Today we have growing children's programs and an Awana program. Remember when we were praying for Awana? We have a Hope Academy. It needs your encouragement and support and participation. We have youth classes. When we started, our youth had to go to other churches. Now we have a youth program and children's classes. Look at our elder board filling out. Look at the deacons and women's ministry. Look at the faithfulness of these people. Can you see? Can you see this? Can you see how God is leading us? God has poised us for a new level of investment in the kingdom of God and Christ. I don't know that I will be here for it, but most of you will be here for it. And God has given this to you. He's given you this opportunity. Again, in the past, this was only a faith-filled dream. The potential for the future is very, very exciting. Will you be like the Israelites that looked into the land and they said, but there are giants in the land. We want to go back to Egypt. Or will you be like Joshua and Caleb that said, we have a big God. Let's go take the land. Where is your confidence laid? We already said, Christ Jesus is our Savior and our head. Listen, not just Hope Bible Church, but every biblical church has always been given, if they really stop and think about it, an impossible task to perform, way beyond what we ourselves can handle. Paul knew this. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Do you understand that our weaknesses are never the problem? The lack of resources is not the problem. When we started this church, do you know what our budget was for a facility? Nada. Zero. Yet God gave us a place to meet. God does it. When we were at Fulton Elementary School, do you know that we had no facility to meet with during the week except our own homes, and people volunteered their homes? That was hard. That was limiting. But God moved us forward because people volunteered and people sacrificed. Now we need all of you to be active. All of you to take into account what it means to love one another. And there's no better place for you to be committed to that than in your communities and your small groups. We need you to be passionate about Christ's work. We need you to think that the Holy Spirit can use you also. Don't doubt the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells His church. The Holy Spirit baptized the church with power. The Holy Spirit gifted each one of you. If that gift is not active, it's because you're quenching that gift. Don't hang out in the back. Don't fly under the radar. Step forward. Be counted for Christ. I promise you, you will never regret it. Unfortunately, some of you act like wet logs. And you've been wet logs for too long. We keep throwing sparks at you and nothing ever burns. We throw matches at you and we can't light you up on fire for Christ. You don't have passion for Him. Your heart's not in it. You don't have the heart that Christ has for His own church. You don't have the heart that Christ has for the building up of His own body. You sing about the glory of Christ, but the hard work that's needed, you don't do it. You don't yet think of the church as your family. Your life, you think, is too much about you and your agenda and your kids. Honestly, even some of you have been here for a while, too comfortable. You have your predictable ministry and it's easy. There's no challenge for you. There's no stretching of your faith there. Can't God do more with you? Don't you want to be used more? Be honest. What is it that's holding you back? We told our family at the beginning when we were doing this church plant that we were not put here on the earth for the Leak family. The Leak family is going to disappear one day when we go to heaven. There will be no Leak family. When we're in the millennial kingdom, there will be no Leak family. The family of God, the church, will last forever. We love our family. We just view our family as an offering that we give to God, to the building up of His kingdom. Certainly, we are not the only church with this philosophy. Thousands of churches throughout church history have devoted themselves to this very thing of which we discuss. Grace Community Church was just a regular community church. That's why it says community church. Sun Valley, California, we would never have heard of it. But they remained true to this model under Dr. MacArthur's preaching. And God used them in local evangelism and then on the radio broadcast, in the worldwide missions, to launch a Bible Institute, a seminary, a university, to help thousands on campus and youth and homeschoolers and Christian school and publication and internet and about every kind of discipleship group that you can think of. And the Shepherd's Conference, which has benefited all of us and some of us are going to soon. They are not a perfect church by any means. They would not claim to be. But it is heartening to know that others have gone before us and left us an example. God has different plans for us. We're not Grace Community Church. We're Hope Bible Church. But God's plans for us involve similar things, building the kingdom of God in our region. It's exciting to know how the Holy Spirit takes us and where He will move us. It's our responsibility to follow His lead. Really, if you want to know the best application for yourself in all of this, and you're thinking, what can I do? Where can I get started? I'm going to give you three simple things. And you can write these down. They're so simple, really. I mean, you wouldn't need me to tell you. Find out what you're gifted in. Number one. Get training. That's number two. And then devote yourself to sacrifice for the kingdom. What are you gifted in? How can you get the training? And then find your place to serve and be devoted to. It's that simple. God's plan works. It works for you. How can God use you? Experiment with it a little bit if you're not sure. Try some things. It's okay to try something and find out that you weren't that great at it. We did that earlier in the church as well. People did lots of things they weren't that great at, but they served and they discovered what they were good at, how God used them. Experiment with your spiritual giftedness. Use it. It's the only way you'll learn. People will give you feedback. Discover that. That's number one. Number two, get training, coursework. Sit under, get training for your family. Get training for how to use that. Go to preparation for ministry. Go to some courses that are being offered. Find some people that are really good in that area of ministry and just in a volunteer alongside them. There's a lot you can pick up just being around people and seeing what they're doing. And then get busy and be devoting yourself to service. It's really just that simple. It is the word-driven, and this is going to be a long one, the word-driven, Spirit-orchestrated, Christ-led, loving, dynamic body model. Each person laboring and striving for the maturity and the growth and the extension of Christ's church on earth to the glory of our head in heaven and of His Father, God the Father, to His praise. Amen. To punctuate this model in Ephesians 4, I wanted us to get to Acts 2 today, but we did not. So we'll get to Acts 2 next time. And Pastor Scott did a great job of reading that whole passage and what a dynamic that is. But I want you to see when we look at it next Lord's Day, Lord willing, is that that is exactly what we see in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. We see a word-driven, dynamic body model in action. And there's a number of wonderful things to glean from their example as well. I want to just go through that to sort of punctuate the doctrinal truth that we learned here in Ephesians 4. So I'm going to close in prayer, and I think, do we have the child dedication today? Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for preserving my voice. And thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for allowing us to do some self-evaluation, some looking at ourselves as we look to go to the future. Father, we know that you want to use these people in a mighty way. Father, help them to find the courage in faith to step forward and be used, to not be fearful, to not be distracted with the world, but to want to be used in a great way for you. Lord, raise up missionaries from within our own congregation. Raise up future preachers. Help some of these men to be willing to become elders and trained, or to become deacons and serve and organize. Move them, Lord, beyond their safety and beyond their comfortability. Father, we have so many gifted women in this church too, Lord. Light a fire under some of them and help them to know there's so much they can do. And for our youth and our young adults, God, help them to start at an early age to dedicate themselves. For your kingdom is so worth it, and your glory is our aim. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Father. Amen.